This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We attempted to tackle the subject matter of the prevalence of single mothers. We looked at different races and we did a comparison. Percentage-wise, there are more Black women raising their children without their partner. We're not including co-parenting, which seems to be more common if there's like court structure. So let's say a couple was married, they had children, they get divorced. The divorce, we hope, was amicable. They have scheduled time in which they are with their children. I would give that as an example of co-parenting. And marriage is not always a requisite for co-parenting. Sometimes there's folks that are very mature. Hey, the relationship isn't working out, but let's both be good friends and good parents. And, you know, take care of our responsibilities and raise our children to the best of our ability, even though we aren't together. So that exists as well. But that's still single parenting. It's just a variation thereof. That child does not have both of their parents in the same household. So I guess what I'm left with is, without the historical definition, because we as Black people are, maybe it's unwitting, but we are repeating sour things in our history. I think someone may have texted it in. I'm going to read your text message. I know I say that, but I'm really going to read them at 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. You still can get public assistance if there's two people in the house. If your income is such, because SNAP is for children living in poverty. The benefits just come through the parents. So there can be a two-person household, and you can get energy assistance. You can get rent assistance. You can get SNAP and other benefits. So SNAP is a federal program. There's state programs. Depends on what county you live in. There's county programs. There's municipal programs. So long gone are the days where the social worker comes to the house and looks for a man's shoes, because I know for an absolute fact, look, there are single men with no kids that get food stamps legitimately. They're not buying stamps. And will y'all please stop selling stamps on the internet? It's fraud. You'll go to jail for that. Stop it. Well, I guess I got $50. Anybody? I'm kidding. Don't sell me any stamps. I don't need stamps. But we don't have to repeat things in the past. I also know that patterns are hard to break. We call them generational curses, generational traumas, even though you know your grandmother did this and then your mother did the same thing, and you may know it's wrong. You're now generation three. You saw what your grandmother went through. You saw what your mother went through. As bad as you know how that trajectory has been for them, a lot of times you're just doomed to repeat it, which is unfortunate. But we do not have to be doomed to the cycles of the past. Or maybe it's a flex to want to raise your children by yourself, because that way you don't have to be told what you're doing is wrong. You don't have to listen to someone commenting on your parenting. Maybe that's what it is. But I don't want us to be stuck in something that is unproductive from days of yore, when they did not want the Black man in the house. And there was some social engineering that went on with our community. White America was really scared after Dr. King, because they realized that if there is a Black Messiah, like a Black person that we listen to, that we believe in, that we love, and that we follow, that's like a moral Black person that is all things wonderful, good, and true, and is law-abiding, that scares the system, because the system cannot stand if there is a Black Messiah. More importantly, if there's a Black Messiah that white people are listening to as well. Dr. King became dangerous when he turned his sights toward two things. This is why I think they killed him, not because of what he was doing for us, because if that was the case, they'd have killed Dr. King in 1956. They're like, well, let's just see how far this Dr. King can go with these Blacks. And just kind of, because what they'll do is, if we made some measurable progress because of Dr. King's wanting to take down Jim Crow, they would just adjust the laws. But they weren't trying to kill him just for helping us. Because I think there was enough white people like, oh, no, it's OK if black people integrate into society. But if you do it slowly, just don't do it all at once. I think most black people, even in the South, were like, yeah, we can integrate with them a little bit. But when Dr. King turned his sights toward poverty, because that's a uniting social ill in our country. Poor people are of all races, all genders, all ethnicities, all religions. And they saw Dr. King's organizing power with African Americans, and they were worried that Dr. King had also organized poor people. That would have taken down the system, weird system of undemocratic, toxic and poisonous capitalism. So that he became dangerous then. But then also when he was against the Vietnam War, they did not like dissenters against the Vietnam War. No one did, especially conservatives. Like, was it what Vietnam protest was it where they opened fire on kids? They killed a bunch of kids. Was it Kent State? Or was that the one where no, that was in Texas. Is Texas Kent State in Texas? Well, there was one, I think it might have been Berkeley, where National Guard like started shooting at Vietnam War protesters. Like, that was more hated. Anti-war protesters in the 60s were more hated than civil rights crusaders. And we believe like, oh, they killed Dr. King because he was doing stuff for black people. Dr. King had like 13 years or more. And I'm counting Dr. King's rise to prominence when he met Rosa Parks, 1954, 1955. So between 55 and 1968, Dr. King did a bunch. He came to Milwaukee in 1965. I used to have the audio clip. I don't have it anymore. He came to the campus of University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I didn't know that y'all had so much segregation in Milwaukee. I had no idea. Let's talk to Sherman. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
Hey, how you doing today, Sherwin?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
I wanted to make a comment about what you said about the man in the house. Welfare is taking the man out of the house. We'd be the bearer of bad news. Somehow, some way, the man got taken out of the house. How did she end up pregnant again?
Oh.
That's the first one. The second thing is, when women say stuff like that, they always keep a man in the house, and one of the reasons why they can't get another man in the house, when I talk about another man, I'm talking about a real man, is because they got their boys in there that's not doing anything. So they have a man, I mean, they have a male in the house who's not doing anything. They just replaced their real man with their boys. Literally, they turned their boys into their boyfriends.
They're turning their sons into their boyfriends.
Okay. That's the reason why you hardly see boys cut grass, shovel snow, chop down trees. Sure, when last time you seen a boy around, we just say under the age of 20 with a cast on his arm?
No, I haven't seen. I've seen more in wheelchairs because they got shot in the spine than I've seen with
casts.
Because
they got shot.
Yeah.
Boys don't break their arms no more these days. When last time you seen a boy under the age of 20 in a tree? They don't do it. They boys is not boys no more. I swear to God, I'm about to tell you a funny story. So anyway, I was into it with some people. And I was doing some horrible, I was trying to do some horrible things to this person. All three of them got away. One couldn't get out the car. But when he finally did get out the car, this is what he said. He said he's going to go get his sister. I was like, damn, that's crazy. You about to go get a girl on me? A girl. These dudes these days is not even real men no more. They don't do stuff like that. They don't fist fight. They don't do no skateboarding. When they die, they're going to die brand new. Brand new ankles, brand new knees. You ever see some of their skin is flawless. They don't got no stars. They ain't doing no manly work. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to be a computer wizard or a carpenter or something like that, but you need to learn how to do something. How you sit in the car with your mama and she calling the AAA to change her tire and you right in the car. 20 years old and you can't change the tire. And it's not that he can't change the tire. He's not required to change tire. You know, he don't know how to do that. It's five, jack the car, take the five screws off, put the new tire on, put the five screws back on. It don't take no rocket science to figure that out. It's more and more women making up every excuse on the face of earth for these boys. He crazy, and he do this, and what I'm saying to you is not, I'm talking about everybody else's kid. I'm talking about my one and only child. My son don't do nothing. He's 30 years old. He still sleep on his mama couch, and she's all right with that. Somehow, some way, I'm the problem. I don't know how, but I'm his problem because he don't want to do anything. He already got three kids.
Oh boy, that's a lot.
Yeah, he want. Yeah, he said a lot. Yeah, she okay with all that. All right, that's my vent for the day.
All right, thank you. That was a lot. That was a hell of a note to end on too. His 30-year-old son. All right, okay. I don't want to be mean. Can I be objective without y'all getting mad at me? Because y'all always get mad at me. I agree with what Sherman said. Boys, teenage boys, aren't doing things that teenage boys and younger boys used to do. And they don't know how to change tires. And I know I've seen it. I've commented on it. Y'all have heard me. When I see women cutting the grass and they have a house full of teenage boys, like, I've got a problem with that. Because she tries to tell the kids, hey, y'all need to get out here and cut the grass, or she doesn't want to bother them. And it'd be down there playing video games. Like, I got a major problem with that. But I think a lot of these things take place and why we have this generation of men. And ladies, you're going to have to agree with me on this because you don't like these men either. I hear y'all complaining about the quality and caliber of men in the dating pool. And a lot of them are as Sherman just described. I see that. I do. And I got a term for those kind of men, but I can't say it because I'll get FCC'd for sure. It's because they're raised by women. We still have gender roles in our community. Sometimes we look at the white folks and, you know, white women are doing all sorts of stuff, and white women, they can pretend to be men. They can pretend to be feminine and soft when they want to be. And I think that we try to emulate some of that, but we still have gender roles in our community because it has gotten us the progress that we have made. We can't forget that now. It may not be like modern feminists. Do y'all know that the feminist movement is a white woman's movement because white women were mad that black men got the right to vote before them? This was white women mad at their husbands. Now, they weren't going to leave their husbands, but in their spare time, they were going to start a movement. Black women and women of color were never supposed to be included in the feminist movement. Even if you look at those women's marches they had right after Donald Trump got inaugurated, black women had the biggest grievances with Donald Trump getting elected. But white women are the ones that were more angry than everybody else, and they're the ones that organized these women's marches. In some cases, black women organized those women's marches, but it was the white women that were getting all the press and doing all the interviews. We're just so tired of having our rights being trampled over. And it was black women that actually had those grievances. The feminist movement is a white woman's movement. And the way it has impacted and affected our community, I think that might be a reason for it. Because black women, let me not be stereotypical, think they don't need their men because white women don't need their men. White women don't. They don't leave their men. They really don't. They don't. They pretend like they do. They don't. And when I say they don't leave their men, they may divorce their husbands, but they have their daddies, their uncles, their brothers. So I think us trying to emulate them and thinking that the feminist movement was a multiracial one, it was not. If you look at the history of, there's four waves of feminism. If you look at how it started, white women in Seneca, New York were like, I can't believe these black men got the rights to vote. White women in general, black women different. But women didn't get the right to vote until the 19th Amendment, 1918, 1919, 1920, somewhere around there. Black men had the right to vote during Reconstruction in 1866. And we oftentimes forget this. Because black men got a taste of suffrage first, now Jim Crow took it away. But when we got elected to the U.S. Senate, the state Senate, we're getting elected to local offices, literally in 1866, 1867, until the Klan, which is an anti-suffrage movement, said we don't want black men voting because we don't want them having political power because political power is economic power and they may come after us. So the Klan started as a terrorist organization to stop and intimidate black men from voting. I can say there's remnants of those fears still to this day why some black men don't vote. That's where it started, because they intimidated us. They burned crosses in our yards. But because we got a taste of suffrage first as black men, a black man got elected president first. Look at how history stares you in the face, because we as black men have a longer relationship with the ballot than white women. A black man got elected before a white woman. And there's no white woman on the ballot right now. Hillary Clinton did not win. So her feminist movement that started because white women were angry that black men got the right to vote first didn't exactly pan out, because white women, whether they tell you this or not, still vote Republican. There's only been two elections since 1964. Nope, I got to go back further than that. Since 1956, where white women have voted more Democratic than Republican. One of them was 1992 when they voted for Bill Clinton. And the other one may have been to elect Lyndon Johnson in 1964. In every other American election going back almost 70 years, white women have voted for Republicans. And guess what? I think that they still very well might. They might. We may get a few that peel off to vote for Kamala Harris, but no, they still vote the best interests of their daddies, their uncles, their brothers, et cetera, et cetera. So even when they get mad at their men, white women don't stray too far. They still vote in accordance. They still uphold white supremacy because they get more power from their white skin than they do from their ovaries. I'll take a break, come back. I said I was going to read text messages. I clearly lied to you. I'll read them next. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
More of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
The 1017 The Truth Street Team, sponsored by UW Credit Union, is coming to an event near you. Join us tonight for Washington Park Wednesdays from 5 to 8 p.m. at Washington Park. There's going to be food, games, and plenty of entertainment for everyone to enjoy. The 1017 The Truth Street Team is sponsored by UW Credit Union. They're here for every you. And tune into the award-winning 1017 The Truth this Saturday at 10 a.m. for another episode of Community Heartbeat, presented by Outreach Community Health Centers. I, Sherwin Hughes, will be speaking with Dr. Mubanga from Outreach Community Health Centers about the importance of vaccinations. It's not just a show, it's a movement dedicated to bringing our community together through wellness. Do not miss Community Heartbeat, presented by Outreach Community Health Centers, this Saturday at 10 a.m. on 1017 The Truth. They got me working on Saturdays, y'all. And Friday, you all know, is our last, potentially forever in the history of time, our last Beyond the Mic. We're going to be at Mr. B's Lounge, 8617 West Brown Deer Road. Cocktails, incredible food. They got a fantastic menu. Go check their menu out. Mr. B's Privilege Lounge. Go see what you're going to order. We're going to have great conversations and just the regular old fun time that we have. So here's the thing with Beyond the Mics. We just may do it differently. What if, and I love 1017 The Truth, but what if I want to do an event and I don't want the radio station all up in my business? You know what I mean? Because I'm kind of still working a little bit. What if I want to do something different? The concept works. It does. I love when y'all get together and get drunk and hang out and laugh and take pictures. I like that a lot. But maybe, what if I want to go independent? Like, you know, and when Destiny's Child, they all went solo. Worked out really well for one of them, didn't it? Like, really well. The rest of them, not as good. So we'll see. The summer was great, though. Our first one was in May. Had a bunch of elected officials there. David Crowley was there, county executive. The mayor was there. Mark Chambers was there. And then y'all made it abundantly clear, we don't want these damn politicians that are Beyond the Mic. And that Mark Chambers, I think, and Dora Drake came to the second one. Then the last one we did at the Mobe Cafe. And then now we're going to be at Mr. B's. There's a lot of our listeners that live out on the northwest side. So we're actually going to be closer to a lot of you. Some folks didn't want to come all the way downtown if you live all the way out in Brown Deer. Oh, Bailey Coleman. She said, oh, sir, I'm going to come to this Beyond the Mic, because Bailey lives like really, really close to Mr. B. She said, I'm going to walk down the hill, sir, and I'm going to be there. So y'all get to see Bailey Coleman at Beyond the Mic. So we'll keep you posted on what the future of Beyond the Mic looks like. Also want to thank Antoine of PWD Computers. He is going to be sponsoring your first drink like we've done at previous events. So PWD Computers, thank you, Antoine, for being such a wonderful partner and sponsoring our Beyond the Mic events with the first cocktail. They usually make there's a specialty cocktail, a Sherwin cocktail. I don't even think I've ever had my own cocktail. Because remember the first Beyond the Mic we had, shout out to whoever that damn bartender was. He didn't know how to make it. I was like, hi, I'd like the Sherwin cocktail. He's like, what? I don't, like, what's in that? Triple sec and what else? I said, I don't know. You're supposed to know. Oh, the bartender that knows how to make your drink, he's not here yet. So we'll see what they have there. All right, let me read these text messages for y'all. Get mad at me. What is this? Kevin says, we celebrate pimps more than any other culture where it's acknowledged to be shameful. You know what, Kevin? Not as much as we used to. Because now pimping has been revealed to be human trafficking. But back some time ago, there was an elevated status for a man that had a bunch of women that women sold their bodies and then paid the man. Like, that's bad when you think about it. But I will admit this. You know how you see movies and you're not supposed to see them because you're way too young to see them? And a lot of times they might be like R-rated movies if you're too young. Like the movie Carrie, a Stephen King movie. I saw that movie way too young. Scared me to death. There was something about that. That and The Exorcist. I saw those movies when I was like six or seven years old. Way too young to see those movies. Well, there was another movie that I saw that I was way, way, way too young to see. And I was 19 years old and I was still too young to see this movie because it had an outsized influence on me. And I almost hate to admit it, but I'm going to admit it because a lot of African-American men who are about my age, you were also influenced by this movie too. The characters in this movie and some of the lines that they had are iconic. Like this movie and the theme of this movie, there was an episode of Martin dedicated to it. I can't even tell you how influential this movie, these actors and the lines from that movie have permeated hip hop, even the style of some rappers. And you know what that movie is? Came out in 1973. I just saw a documentary on this movie. It is a cultural juggernaut for African-American men. Maybe not as much for women, but women know this movie too. And ooh, if you had this movie on VHS, if you just made a phone call, you would have everybody at your house because you couldn't get this one at Blockbuster. Nobody. And this movie, obviously, it predates the internet, so it's not like you just order a copy off the internet. You know what movie it is. It glorified that lifestyle. Even though there were some cautionary tales in the movie, the main character, Max Julian, in the movie is the Mac. I was too young at 19 to see that movie because that had every young-ish black man thinking he could be a pimp. No, you can't. No, you cannot be a pimp. Oh, the game is terrible. But it was just such an influential movie. But I don't think that pimping, and we used to call each other, hey, pimping, what's going on? In fact, when Meech called yesterday, I'm sorry, Winky Blue, look here, pimping. You're not supposed to say that anymore. It used to be like a title of respect that men would give one another, just like a colloquialism, like, oh, what's going on, pimp? Oh, look at those, look at that car, that's pimpish. Oh, look at your clothes, that's, you look like a pimp. Now, you know, you shouldn't say that anymore. Pimping is very bad because it means, you know what it means. All right. The caller says, see what happens when you go down the relationship rabbit hole. When the caller says the R word, ladies and gentlemen, he means relationships. He doesn't mean those other R words. Rodney, I think I'm going to talk about this tomorrow. Rodney says the Department of Justice is absolute gangster. They revised the charges on Trump to reflect the rules regarding a candidate running for office. They charged him with the 60-day window because they could without violating policy or having to retract the charges later. Absolutely. That's a big, complicated topic, how they recharged Donald Trump in light of the Supreme Court ruling that gave him almost absolute immunity. So the prosecutor, who for some reason his name is escaping me, Joe Williams, whatever his name is, found little hidden loopholes of how they can charge Trump with things that he actually can go to jail for. And Trump is very, very frightened because he had posted something on Twitter regarding this, that, oh, you shouldn't be, you know, bringing this stuff up. The Department of Justice shouldn't be getting involved in influencing the election by bringing up these additional charges. Trump is afraid. And so that's why we need to be more afraid of him, because if he sees the writing on the wall, and I think he does, that Kamala Harris may beat him, what he will tell his supporters to do to stall, to stop, to overturn the election and to incite violence on Election Day and the days afterwards will be, he'll go even further than he did on January 6th. Because if Trump loses and Trump actually does get found guilty by a jury, and Jack Smith is his name, Jack Smith has put together a case that will end up with Donald Trump going to jail, Trump will not want this country to exist anymore if there's a possibility that he may actually do jail time. So when Trump is under the thumb of responsibility, of being held responsible for crimes he committed, he will become not just unhinged, but dangerous, because there are people that listen to him and will act out his most violent impulses. So stay tuned. The caller says, love Linda, but Nick Cannon has already got about 90 women pregnant and he's only 45. Yeah, Nick, I don't understand that guy. We read that one already. LT says, because other minorities in the United States realize that it is easier and more productive to raise a child or children in two-parent households without a government check, like a single household. Government checks come to two-parent households all the time. Marcus says, no other race of people was targeted by the CIA with the sole mission of breaking the black family. Don't deny that. Don't really know how much the CIA was involved. It was more like the social service system. But because we know that happened, why is that still having an impact? Or is it something else? Or when white women who created and curated the feminist movement were telling women, we don't need men anymore, down with the patriarchy, men are the problem, sisters, let's band together. They were lying to black women. They wanted you to help fortify their movement, but they just went right back to their husbands. They just got mad at their husbands because black men got the right to vote first. That was what the feminist movement was. That's why their rates of divorce are lower than ours. That is why they still stay together and take care of their kids. These white women just got mad. How come we can't vote? Huh, okay, I guess I'll go shopping with your credit card then, but I sure would like to vote. In my spare time, I think I'm going to start a movement. Don't worry, I'll be home to have dinner on the table. Black women took it seriously. Hell no, we don't need our men. We don't need you. And the white women went home. Black women went to subsidized housing. Like, I think that actually had a big part of it. So white women, don't let white women get away with the stuff that they do. They're very culpable and they're very, very sinister. But we just always, what's the word for it? They're infantile. We infantilize white women. Like when they cry, like, oh my God, what's wrong with you, white women? If white men are out in the world exacting racism on black people, white women are at home teaching the children to be the next generation of racists. Don't ever let that escape your thinking. This racism that still exists in this country that just doesn't seem to go away, it's very stubborn. Somebody is teaching it. Somebody is reinforcing it. The white man has his role to limit black progress out in the economic world, like out in the real world with policing and the racism in corporate America and all that other stuff. He makes the policy still to this day. She is at home telling her kids to be afraid of black and brown people. That's why the Republicans can run on a single issue, the border. White women are playing their role. Like, they're not innocent in all this, but we think that they are because we treat them like little children. You ever hold a white woman responsible for something? What does she do? Freaks out, panics, cries, and calls the damn police. She cannot be held responsible for what she does. She's just a little baby. And it irks me when black women think that they can use that excuse, because a black woman can be writhing on the ground in the worst emotional pain you have ever seen because she just lost her son in a drive-by shooting. People will literally step over her. Let it be a white woman sitting on a bench on a sunny day with one tear streaming down her face and watch everybody. Oh, my God, honey, what's wrong? Can I get you some gelato? Oh, my God, babe, what do you need, crying white woman? If you're crying, I'm crying, too. You got to be careful with that stuff. All right. I got to take a break now. I'll come back and read more of your text messages on the other side. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back shortly.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Millicent said this. This ain't me. This is her now. And you heard when she called earlier. She pulls no punches and she gives no F's. Millicent says, can we just agree that some black women are not worthy of a man because of her negative attitude? I'm not commenting on that. Maybe those negative attitudes are coming from a woman that just wants to find a man that can make her feel positive, that can cheer her up and show her that everyone is not terrible, everyone is not out to hurt her, that wants to support her and love her and open the car doors for her and pay her rent and get her hair done and her nails done and cash app her because she's sad. Maybe that's why they're negative, because the world is very mean to them. Maybe. And there's some men that will fill that role. There are some men that will essentially lay down their masculinity to be whatever this woman needs at all times. If she says, come here, he says, on my way, whatever she needs, he'll do it. I feel sorry for those men, because if you are that kind of a man and you're everything for that woman all of the time, everything she needs, you're her emotional support, you are her bank account, you are everything. You take care of her. She doesn't have to be responsible for anything in the presence of this man. Eventually, she'll leave you because she'll say you're weak. Double-edged sword. He doesn't push back on her. He doesn't argue with her. He doesn't disagree with her. Yes, honey. Absolutely. Whatever you want, honey. She's going to leave you, dude. I guarantee it, because don't no woman want that. I seen this thing yesterday on the YouTubes. It was a little documentary, because, you know, they take the internet, all the internet, and they can find things out about people based upon what people search for, okay? And they looked at sexual fantasies. Men's sexual fantasies, exactly what you think they are. Orgies, a whole bunch of women, whatever, boring. But then they looked at when women search for sexual related topics. It's so different. You know what they have in common? Women, when they search things on the internet related to their sexual fantasies and desires, when they think that nobody is watching their searches, oh, Google is collecting all the information. Women want a man. It's basically Beauty and the Beast, a bad, evil, dangerous man that she can tame with her seduction. So it's vampires, werewolves, monster. And then the other category was like billionaires. But I guess like that's a little bit more abstract, where billionaires can be dangerous, too. But she can tame him. That's what. So if you're just like a weak dude, oh, yes, I'll do whatever you say, honey. Yes, yes, yes. That doesn't have any durability. Let's talk to Adam. You're on 1017 The Truth.
I hope I am, sir.
Can you turn your radio down?
Can you hear me?
No, because we talked about this the last time you called. You got to turn your radio off.
I hope I am, sir. Can you turn your radio down? Can you hear me? No. You got to turn your radio off.
Adam.
It's off.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
The radio is off.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've been knowing this. I've been radio stations before. I've been trying to contact you. You are using words now that is getting to me. Oh. Like, I digress. You're using that all the time.
Everybody digress. You're digressing right now. Listen, don't do this to me. Don't do it now. Don't do it.
I don't know what it's sounding like to you. You're using filler words.
Hold on, man. I know you ain't calling here, calling my show, criticizing the words I use. Look here, man. If you ain't got nothing to say on the topic, then we're going to have to terminate this call now. You over here talking about work. You better not hang up. I'm hanging up. Oh, he hung up on me first. What's the moon? Is the moon full? What's going on with y'all today? What is it? Something's happening.
Yeah, you use words like I digress.
Holy, no, I'm answering this myself. Who is this?
This is Brian.
Who?
Hello.
Hello.
Brian.
Hi, Brian.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. I've been listening off and on all morning, and I missed the talent show. I had some answers to the question that you were talking about, but I had them in a couple different forms for you. So I was wondering if I could just do my thing for like 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes for me, Sean?
Yes.
All right.
But hold on before you start, Brian. Hold on before you start.
Okay.
So you were listening off and on. I just mentioned a couple years ago when we did a talent show, because whenever I talk about certain topics, people use like vulgar language. And I said, oh, maybe we need to get back to the days when we used to do talent shows. You did not miss a talent show. I did not do one today. But now I'm curious as to what your talent is. And so now we apparently are going to have a talent show, but you're the only contestant.
Right on. Okay, here we go. I sing and I do a little rapping, but it's old school rap.
Oh, all right, this is going to be wonderful.
Okay. Too long I have been away from you. This time I'm hoping I can stay with you. If you want me, then just say you do. Your eyes can't help but to call to me, baby. As I reply, you can have all of me. All that you can hold or see. Can we spend some time? You know how we get down. Tell me, can we get down? How does that sound? You've been on my mind. You stay on my mind, baby. Okay, I got the rap next. I won't take up all your time. Okay. I can only be me. I hit the block and I tell you what I see. Black folks with no growth because they scared of unity. You can blame it on the man while he laughs at you and me. But letting Willie Lynch destroy the whole community. Everybody got problems, but still no solution. These leaders got big plans, but I see no execution. Listen up, man. These laws are persecuting. Pressure bust a pipe and whites. You wonder why ninjas shooting in the ghetto. Hustlers got to run for their lives. Contenders want to be champion. They ain't taking no dives. Slipping to get you pop. Better hope you survive. And you get him or get him a chop. Bust it down for 2-5. I wonder why. The cage bird gon' sing until he come home. So I'm stressing address. Kids leave the game alone. Because when the chips is down, you find you're all on your own. And it's hard to be a father to your daughter on the phone. Families broken up by government scam. Welfare and child care. If you don't got a man in the household for cheap sex, we selling our soul. But the cost is too great. If the story be told, saving it for marriage is the days of old. Babies is making babies, but can't make the honor roll. Most ladies want grits and gravy, so they set a special hole. So brothers cooking on the stove just to make a video. And it ain't what it seems, destroying young girls' dreams. Way of Kansas, heartless at the age of 16. I got so many topics and so little time since this introduction. Hope I said the right line. First is for free. After that, it's a dime. So hold on to this here and pay me later like fines. I guess that's my time. Thank you, Shay.
Thank you.
Oh,
okay. Can we get down? Oh, and it got the unity in the community. I didn't see nothing from the black people. That's why you raising your daughter on the phone. I'm home alone. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes, where I don't even know what this is anymore. I used to do a radio show. Now it's a talent show. It's a history lesson. It's a lot of yelling. It's a lot of profanity. A lot of sexually explicit things. And I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Y'all be nice to Brian. Y'all being very brutal to him in the YouTube chat comments. He was very talented. He's a double threat. Or maybe he's a triple threat. Maybe he acts too. He's a rapper and an R&B singer. Up next, let's talk to Cypher. You're on 1017 The Truth. How are you?
What could life be like in the land of free and plenty? If people woke up, broke a stretch, got minty. You get mad at the sun, you didn't even, the sun, the day didn't even start. You get mad and go crazy when you hear the baby fart. Young women practice breeding, whether heathens, feet or heathens, they practice breeding, man. What type of stuff is that? And I like what you said about men sacrificing their masculinity. Everybody feels safe and comfortable. Now we have this very, very, very trying time. We have to understand what is a man, what is a woman, what do we need, what do we really want? Like this issue with this transgender thing, like, you know, men putting their masculinity on the back burner and becoming more like women who raised them. Being that strong figure, also very intimidating and fierce when they, you know, have those intense outputs of emotion and expression. It's scary. And then you got these women who don't want to be just another, like, silly girl who's objectified or sexualized. So she becomes more like a man, this whole stud term. So it's very interesting that you said that.
Thanks, Cypher. I'm glad you found value in what we were saying. But the first part of your call started off as it was a rap, and then you went into your commentary. Right, that's how that went.
Was it a rap? I thought I was just speaking.
Oh, I didn't know that you talked like that normally. Okay, that's cool. Thank you, though. That was nice. It was very poetic, though.
Have a good day.
All right, you too, Cypher. All right, okay, then. He started off rapping. He did. He said something about babies farting. Did you hear that part, or was that just me that heard that? Well, it looks like we're going to have to do another talent show, apparently, because y'all will just showcase your talents. Anyway, JD, I know that you must be very upset hearing these individuals encroach on your bestowed title as Poet Laureate. I have about 4 minutes left, JD, if you want to grace us with one, because clearly there is competition out there for Poet Laureate of 1017 The Truth. Okay, I don't know what's happening. Just let me get through these last 4 minutes. It's been 3 hours of... I'm not entirely sure what happened today. A very different departure from yesterday's show. But we like to mix it up a little bit. Okay, Renee says, "Hi, Sherwin. That is called weaponizing of white woman tears. I work in a predominantly white environment. These white women will cry on a dime. I encountered that with my manager. I confronted my manager and called her out on something that she wasn't truthful on. She started crying, and the Academy Award goes to..." Here's the article. Who's this here now? Who's this? The Angels Advocate says, "A young man hated his father because he left him as a child and started a new family and business. Then he remembered his mother said, when the judge asks who he wants to live with, you better say me or I'll beat your ass." That's sad. Okay, looks like JD is calling. Dion says, "I don't drink. He can get me a Red Bull." Martin says, "Sure, when a man can fill that role, do whatever if she possesses a Jezebel spirit and control by other men. It's done no matter who loves who. LT says having kids out of wedlock is an unintended consequence of strong black woman propaganda. Bam, mic drop. Let's talk to Mr. J.D. Masters, the official poet laureate of 101.7 The Truth. Hello, J.D. How are you?
I'm well. I haven't been calling in because I feel like people be interrupting you sometimes with like nonsense. And they don't be like on topic. So I was like, I don't be wanting to drag it out with my poetry because, you know, I do have a platform and you actually helped me propel my career and, you know, help me sell books and shows. You help me promote stuff. But I do got something for you today. And because we talked about prisons yesterday and we talked about ill relationships today, I want to do a piece called Your Prisons Are Killing You.
Can you do it in a minute and 50 seconds?
Shorter than that.
Okay, go ahead.
Your feet look pretty. Your mind is empty. Koreans do your nails. Black men rot in jails. Prisoner filled with potential. Prisons of mental differential. Jewish bankers take your money. Black men playing the dummy. Are you only able to sell drugs? Are you aware the CIA is the plug? Afghans grow poppies you kill for. Black man is America's whore. Killing you with materialism. Killing your kids with militarism. Mexicans is not our enemies. Black man, you are still kin to me. You must now unite. You must get right. Africans are original man. Black man, you need to understand. And that's that piece.
Thank you, JD. That was wonderful. That's why you're the official poet laureate of 101.7 The Truth. That was good. He combined a lot of elements. All right. Sometimes after a 3-hour show, the last 50 seconds are the most difficult. Because I try and recap the program. Started off with talking about our Truth on Politics. Our first episode was last night. If you go to our YouTube, go to 101.7 The Truth on YouTube. You should subscribe to our channel. Then you'll see last night's episode of The Truth on Politics. Myself, Dr. Ken, Telly Hughes, and Bailey Coleman. We also talked about why is there such a prevalence of single parenthood in the African-American community. I had a, you know, productive conversation about that. Al called in. Got a feeling we won't be hearing from him for a while. And then everything flew off the rails. And, of course, we ended the program with a talent show that wasn't even supposed to be a talent show. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.